I'm Nick Job of Random Ramblings of a Demented Doorknob.
I'm Travis McCollum of the Movie Encyclopedia.
And this is the final episode of the Demented Encyclopedia. Hello. Like I said, this is episode 17, the final episode of our show.
Yeah,
it's been over 17 weeks technically since we've skipped a few. But so we asked on our Facebook page what y'all thought we could do as our big last episode, and Jason Soto of Invasion of the B-Movies, who has been on as a guest here before, suggested to do our top five cliffhanger endings from movies. And so I was like, that's great, let's do that. So that's what we're doing. So we're going to be talking about cliffhanger endings. We have top five lists and a little extra to talk about. But before we get into that, let's do our recommendas and plugs. Travis?
Yeah. Get in for a ride. This is going to be a while. It's our last episode. We're going to have fun with this thing. I have a plug and a recommenda. If you've been at all to the Movie Encyclopedia lately or around Anomalous Materials or The List or pretty much anywhere where I comment on a regular basis, you'll know that my one-year anniversary of the Movie Encyclopedia is coming up shortly. The 15th or 16th, I think, and I'm kind of been working my butt off to make sure that it's the best one-year anniversary I can think of. I've been pretty much emptying out my draft section, which is 28 long, so I'm trying to sort that out. I've been trying to clean up the side bit. I finally put a list of all the reviews and articles I've done. I'm still working on the linking, and I got all sorts of special things planned, so hopefully it goes well. I can only hope. And as for my recommenda, well, I haven't been here in a while, but it's still, and this was going to be my recommenda last week and the week before, and it's still my recommenda now, and it's thanks to Nick Job. Thanks to you.
Okay.
See, when Nick did the TV meme, he did one that really caught my eye, and that was Best Intro.
Ah.
And that intro stuck with me to the point where I went on Amazon.com and ordered the entire series on DVD, mm-hmm. and that is Jack of All Trades starring Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
It is an amazing show that sadly only got one season.
It got one and a half. There was like half a second season.
Yeah. Kind of two seasons, but barely.
Yeah, barely.
And I don't know why it was canceled. I don't know any of the politics behind it. I completely missed it when it was on. Maybe because I was too busy watching kids' cartoons because I was like 9 when the show came out. But it is a really good show. If you like Bruce Campbell, if you like his cheesiness, I mean, if you watch Burn Notice, if you watch Evil Dead series, Army of Darkness, or even Briscoe County, you know what to expect from him. And it's just, it's perfect form of it. I explain it as kind of like a swashbuckling Zorro in the Revolutionary War era in a France-owned area.
Yeah.
And people are just like, holy crap.
Yeah, it's basically an easier way to say that. If Bruce Campbell played Zorro during the French Revolution.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got great characters. It's a great show. And it's actually really cheap on DVD. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you just want something really cheesy, fun to watch, you can't beat it.
Yeah, and it has like the most amazing intro song ever.
Yeah, definitely one of the best. Yeah. Or at least the one that stuck in my head the longest.
Yeah. Alright. I don't have a plug, but I do have a recommenda. I'd actually heard of this a while back. I just never got around to watching it until recently. I caught all three seasons on instant streaming on Netflix, and then I almost immediately went out and bought it. And it's Felicia Day's online series, The Guild. I had first heard of it through the Dr. Horrible DVD. On the commentary, they talk about it. Essentially, if you've never seen it, it's basically a bunch of people who play a very World of Warcraft-type computer game, and they're very addicted to it, and they have, like, this guild. They travel around together in the game. You never actually see the game. It's all about their personal interactions. And everything kind of starts up when this one character, Zabu, shows up at Felicia Day's, her character's name is Codex, at her front door, thinking that, you know, she'd been flirting with him and wanted to be with him, and he's very, like, this disturbing stalker character, and they end up meeting up, and everything just kind of clicks from there, and the show moves on. It's a very funny show. It's very short per season because it's an online show. The first season altogether is maybe like 40-something minutes. The second and third seasons are a little over an hour each. And the DVD, if you get the DVD, there are some amazing extras on these DVDs. It's packed with stuff, and it's really interesting. So, yeah, if you're into, like, gaming and just kind of gamer humor, it's a very good show to watch. You can watch it online for free as well, or if you have instant streaming. I also brought it up because season 3 had a huge cliffhanger ending to kind of, you know, segue into our main topic. And season 4 is currently going on, so, you know, that cliffhanger is kind of resolved, I suppose. I haven't started watching season 4 yet. But, yeah, so, The Guild. Travis, have you watched The Guild?
I have heard a lot about it because I play D&D with my friends on a regular basis, and every time we get together, Kyle's like, you watched The Guild yet? You watched The Guild yet? And I'm like, no, not yet, but I've been meaning to watch it. I didn't know it was on Netflix instant streaming.
Yeah.
But I'll have to definitely give it a look. Yeah, I'm always late to the party with these online shows. Like, I didn't see Red versus Blue until like a year ago. So I'm really late to the party on a lot of these kind of shows.
At the very least, Felicia Day is pretty hot, so yeah.
Yeah, I do love Felicia Day, and
yeah,
I'm with you there.
So, all right, moving on into our top 5 cliffhanger endings. So I guess we'll just start with our top 5s. We'll alternate.
Yes.
And I'll give my 5, Travis will give his, then 4, 4, 3, 3, etc. Okay. Shall I start or should you?
I'll start.
Go for it.
I have no problem.
What's your number 5?
My number 5 is John Carpenter's The Thing.
All right.
Have you've seen it?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well, I just feel bad. I don't want to really spoil, but you know, I guess we're kind of spoiling it anyway.
This is going to be a big, before we start, this is going to be a spoiler-heavy episode, because we are talking about cliffhanger endings, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, the lab gets blown up at the end, and there are still the two people left. There are McCready is what I call him, but I don't know if it's McCready and Childs. And the thing is, you know that they destroyed the lab, but you don't know whether that one of them could be infected. I mean, they kind of leave it to the point where they kind of insinuate that, oh, one of them could be infected. They don't say outright say it, but it's kind of insinuated that maybe it could have happened. And so pretty much the main characters are end up just kind of, it's just kind of like, oh, well, what happens? You don't know. One of them's infected. You're waiting for one of them to start growing tentacles.
Yeah.
You're waiting for it to happen, and it never happens.
Yeah, it just ends.
And it's just like, it just ends. And then you have to wait until the shitty video game to find out who actually turned into an alien and who wasn't actually infected.
Who was it in the video game? I haven't played it.
The person who got infected was Childs. Kurt Russell's character was completely fine.
Alright.
Yeah, he and in fact at the very end he's like, "Hi there, everybody. I'm riding in a helicopter. I'm here to save you all. Bye bye," and they go off into the sunset. And I'm just like, "You shit ball piece of crap. How dare you? How dare you?" But whatever. I guess, you know, they couldn't tell us in the movie. They had to wait until 2002, which was 20 years later, mm-hmm. to actually reveal what happened. But, yeah, that one pissed me off. All
right. My number five, and this kind of resolved, I guess, in the sequel, though the sequel kind of bugged me anyway. Was the ending to Final Destination, the very first one. Yeah, they finally make it to Paris, and they're sitting around the thing, and then he starts seeing clues and stuff that something might happen. He gets up and leaves, and one of his friends stops him from getting hit by a truck, I think, and then the sign falls down, and the movie cuts to black right before it hits either one of them. So
Yeah,
you have no idea what happened. In the sequel, you find out that it kills Carter, and
a brick falls on
Devon Sawa. On the main character, a brick falls.
Just a fucking brick. It's like falls, and that is such a such a pussy way to go. It's like, and I thought a rock going through a lawnmower in the Final Destination was a really pussy way to go, but nope, a brick.
Yeah, and they don't show it. Like, they just mention it in passing. Like, Ali Larder's character in the sequel, if you haven't seen it, puts herself in a mental hospital to try to stay safe and away from dangerous areas. And she ends up relying this detail to the new cast of characters that, yeah, I was with this guy, but, like, this brick fell on him and hit him in the head and he died.
Like, yeah, and they did the same thing with the third one. Like, at the end of the second one, there were the two people, and then you have to wait until the DVD release of the third one, and you have to click at the right time on the ending thing, and it'll say in the little news brief thing, two people who were recently involved in the... Involved in that. Oh, they fell into a wood chipper.
Mm-hmm.
They fell into a wood chipper.
Yeah.
Yep. Whoops.
No. But the explanations might suck, but the cliffhanger itself is pretty cool.
Yeah, that one was actually on my honorable mentions, but I thought I'd get it out of the way there. But that was definitely wait, who's next?
Yeah.
I thought that was definitely clever that it was like the movie may be over, but it's not over.
Yeah, I mean, horror movies tend to have that kind of, oh, they're not dead yet kind of, you know, shocker ending, like the recent remake of what was it? Well, I guess you can count The Crazies, but I'm thinking of The Hills Have Eyes. You think these people survive, and then it cuts to, like, binoculars or something like that, and you see that more of the mutated guys are, like, watching them. And, you know, it always has that kind of thing. And Final Destination does it more clever, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like this. So.
I mean, you could really say any of the any of those kind of horror films, all the Friday the 13th, yeah. One I'm going to mention later is Halloween. So, you know, all these, they mention it.
Yeah.
And it's always that kind of cliffhanger. But I do think that Final Destination did it in a way that we haven't really seen before, which made the movie clever and which made the movie original and interesting.
It was actually part of the plot.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right. You're number four.
My number four, I don't know if it is the reason why we call it a cliffhanger, but it's the earliest recognition of a cliffhanger, and it's also one of my favorite movies, and that's The Italian Job.
Mm.
Not the Marky Mark one, not that piece of crap, that. The Michael Caine one. Because if you've seen that one, at the end, they go to the Alps, and Charlie, Michael Caine, and their whole crew snuck out of England by dressing up as a soccer football fan, and they got in a minivan, and they're traveling to Switzerland, and they're on this kind of road, and they're kind of celebrating beer, champagne, oh hell yeah, we got away with the goal, we're woo, and then the driver skids, and the back of the bus is led, it's teetering over the cliff, and the gold that they got, this really heavy gold, is slipping out, and the movie ends.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I know of the ending. I just haven't seen that movie. Actually, you brought this up, and I want to clarify. The reason it's called a cliffhanger ending is because back in radio serials, they'd always end with this suspenseful note that, you know, listen next time to find out if so-and-so is alive. And it would be stuff like, you know, hanging off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the cliffhanger ending term came from.
Same bad time, same bad place.
Yeah.
It didn't piss me off because I liked it, because it was kind of like a dun, 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 kind of a cool ending. And then, of course, Michael Caine ends with, hang on a minute, I got an idea. End.
Yeah.
That's classic. It's a classic movie, and it's a great part, and it's a great movie. But it's so funny. Just that's what I think of when I think cliffhanger, is mm-hmm. I think that. I was going to say Thelma and Louise, but that's more of a cliff jumper.
Yeah.
Than a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Thelma and Louise, that was in my honorable mentions, but I don't see it as a cliffhanger. It's categorized as one, but they can't survive.
Maybe they made the jump.
Maybe, but, you know, I don't know.
Anyway. I don't know. It's not really a cliffhanger, but I don't know. I try to be the devil's advocate in that situation.
Yeah. All right. My number four, this was a total, I remember seeing this in theater, and it was just gasp, you know, one of those moments. And it's Kill Bill Volume 1, where you find out that her daughter is still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's... That one's an interesting one, because I don't know. I didn't think Kill Bill Volume 2 was as strong as the first one. Maybe that's just me.
I think, well, with me, some parts of Volume 1 are stronger than Volume 2, and some parts of Volume 2 are stronger than Volume 1.
But it just, it's kind of odd, because it ends with that big giant cliffhanger, and it's like, wait, what happened? And then, you know, the movie, I guess I wasn't, like, taken that aback. But, I mean, it was definitely a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, like, to me, it was like, well, of course they're going to make a second one. This movie's effing awesome.
Yeah. Well, it technically, Volume 2 technically isn't a second one. Kill Bill is one movie. It was just split in two.
Yeah.
So you just knew like there was... you knew Bill going Bites. In there was going to be a second one. So.
Although I don't know what they're going to do with 3, since Carradine kind of choked out at the last minute. Oh, that was...
Aw, poor taste.
I'm sorry. Please don't kill me.
Speaking of the world's greatest dad, We were talking about the Robin Williams movie, World's Greatest Dad, before we started the show. And if you've seen the movie, you'll get that joke. But
Yeah.
moving on.
All right, my number three. I didn't know. It was never kind of specified whether it was just movie, TV, whatever. So I did TV because there were some really good TV, end like the show ending, not like season, but like the show end, and they leave it on a cliffhanger. And one really pissed me off, and that's my number one. And one was kind of, oh, it kind of pissed me off at first, but then it was like, oh, well, I guess that's kind of tasteful. And so number three is The Sopranos. It's kind of become a really popular joke, or it's kind of been overdone a lot. But if you haven't seen it, you go YouTube it now. But basically, what happens is Phil dies. Phil has always been kind of a giant pain in the ass. And Tony, Carmel, and AJ, the Soprano family, they go to dinner. And there are some thugs around. There are some questionable people staring at him. Well, it makes sense though, because I mean Tony is kind of a big deal, and AJ's kind of shot himself in the foot a few times. And then they put on "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey, and it's not playing that loud, but it gets kind of progressively louder, and you're wondering, okay, maybe something's happening. And Meadow is supposed to be coming to the dinner, but she can't park. I don't want to say because she's a woman, because I don't want to get into that argument, but she can't park worth a damn, and so she ends up coming a lot later. And as she goes to the door, all of a sudden it goes to like kind of Tony's perspective, like it's kind of focusing on Tony. The door opens, Tony looks up, and it goes right to black. And that's it. And the music sounds like, "Don't stop." And then it's just like, and that's it. And there have been a lot of analysis. There have been people have been zooming in on the reflection of his eye. There have been a lot of things. And I don't want to try to explain the cliffhanger, but to me, it's always like the show's been about Tony, so I figure if the show's going to end, it might as well end with him dying. But there's a lot of interpretations, but I thought it was a pretty interesting cliffhanger.
I know Family Guy spoofed it.
Spoony spoofed it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Family Guy episode. Well, it's kind of a two-parter where Stewie acts like he's gonna take over the world and everything, and you find out at the very end of the episode that it was all a kind of a dream kind of thing, and then Brian is saying, that's kind of a cop out, blah blah blah. If anybody were actually watching this, they'd be pissed off. And then Stewie starts saying something like, "Well, at least it's not like The Sopranos where we end mid," and then it just goes to black.
Yeah, and I've actually used that conversation. Brian said that, "Wait, did that Deus Ex Machina thing is kind of a cop out. It's kind of a piece of shit way to end a movie, but or end a series or whatnot." But it's like, yeah, it's not The Sopranos. Oh, never mind. But yeah, The Sopranos has always been one that's kind of stuck with me in terms of cliffhangers. That is just like, oh,
Yeah, I haven't watched.
what happened?
I never watched The Sopranos, but I knew how it ended, so.
Yeah, one of my best friends is like total FBI kind of Italian, kind of like idolizes The Sopranos. So of course I had to watch, otherwise, hey, you out of the family.
Yeah.
You don't watch The Sopranos? Well, screw you.
right. My number three, whether or not you actually like the movie, I think the ending is amazing. Because I didn't see it coming the first time, so I had like this big grin on my face when it happened, when Captain Barbossa walks down the end of the stair walks down the stairs at the end of Pirates of the Caribbean 2. And he, takes a bite of the apple and then cuts to black. And I loved that ending. I mean, the movie's okay. It's definitely not as, good as the first, but that ending is just, it made me smile.
I think I am like one of the few people who didn't not like that. I liked the movie. It was that adventure swashbuckling film. I mean, Yeah, well, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean: Curse of the Black Pearl was such a good movie, and it was such a revolution of kind of these swashbuckling pirate films that when the second one came out, people just had these huge expectations, and they were just like, "Oh my God, what's gonna happen?" And they had already announced they were doing a third movie ahead of time, like months in advance. They're like, "Oh, we're gonna make it's a trilogy." And they say that. And so you're thinking, well, it's the second part in a trilogy. They got to end it somewhere. The movie was already 2.5 hours long. Not a boring 2.5 hours, but it was a 2.5 hours nevertheless. So it kind of made sense to me, like Barbosa. Oh my gosh, there's Barbosa. That's awesome. I mean, they killed Jack, so it's like, well, you gotta find Jack, and oh, here's Barbosa, and he's gonna help you, and it's like, cool. And it was a cool ending, and I thought it was a cool movie. No, it wasn't as good as the first one, but it was still a good movie that doesn't deserve the crap it got later on. I mean, they were expecting Citizen Kane, maybe? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of sequels that get more crap than they deserve. But that's a whole other podcast.
Which one? I don't know. Yeah, there's that. Yeah, but I that is definitely a good one.
All right. What's your number two?
My number two one is one that's probably shared with the majority of the world. I know it's mentioned on the D-bag, and it's also one of my favorite movies and my favorite movie in the series, and that is Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. Whoo! If you haven't seen it, I'm gonna find you.
Who hasn't seen Empire Strikes Back?
If you haven't seen it, I'm gonna find you and beat you. No, seriously, I'll just send me your address. And maybe I'll give you the movie. I have it on VHS, special edition VHS, DVD, and Blu. Well, not Blu-ray yet, but I'm gonna pre-order it. And then hell, I'll buy you a ticket to see the 3D version. Just you have to see it if you haven't. But the ending to that one, is on your list?
It's on my honorable mentions, but it's not on my list.
Well, then, you know, feel free to come in anytime. But they go to Cloud City, and Vader's waiting there. And pretty much Lando, Billy Dee Williams' character, just end up kind of stabbing his best friend in the back. And Luke and Vader go into this huge duel, and they end up in this kind of airway in Cloud City, and Vader cuts off Luke's hand. And Luke's just kind of, he's bleeding, he's kind of in a bad way, he's hanging on the edge, and Vader's like, "So, just wanted to let you know that
I'm your daddy."
Yeah, and Luke's like, "Oh shit!" And he just falls down the pole. Well, he didn't say "oh shit," but you know, he plunges down
Well,
the air
Vader didn't
shaft.
say, "I'm your daddy," either.
I'm not gonna do it. I am not gonna say, "Luke, I am your father." I'm not gonna do that.
Well, you
But
just
oh, damn it. But you know, he goes down to the shaft, and Vader's like, "Oh no, shit! I guess he's not gonna be teaming up with me." And he ends up going down an air shaft and goes into a tube system, which ends up to end up on the antenna of the city, and he telepathically talks to Leia, and pretty much gets Lando, who's kind of feeling like a bit of a dick for doing what he did, and kind of getting him to help him out. And R2-D2 fixes the hyperdrive, and they escape. But the problem is, Han Solo was,
Imprisoned in carbonite.
yeah, I was gonna say caramelized. I'm like, no,
Oh.
carbon, car.
Han Solo was caramelized recently.
He's carbonized, although giving Jabba the Hutt, he could have been caramelized. And so they go to Tatooine, and they're trying to find out what happened. It's like such a depressing ending, but it's such an awesome movie, and it sets up for a really good finale, although if those Ewoks. Besides that, it was a good movie.
I have to say, you just gave me a contender for the title of this episode. The one where Han Solo is caramelized.
You're welcome. Hey, it's our last episode. We might as well go out with a bang.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, my number two. Really, there's not much else. I mean, like Empire Strikes Back, everybody by now knows this ending. It's not as definitely not as old as Empire Strikes Back. But it's been talked to death recently, and that's Inception. I had to put it on the list because it is such a recent perfect example of a cliffhanger ending. I don't want to get into yet another debate on whether it was a dream or not. So I'm just going to kind of...
But for those who, I guess, didn't see it, you know, what happened?
I just feel bad spoiling this one because it's so recent.
Oh, we're spoiling the movie. Give it a break.
Yeah. It's... Alright. You know, the whole movie, like half of it's in dreams and everything, and Leonardo DiCaprio, they have these things called totems, which lets them know if they're dreaming or not, and Leonardo DiCaprio's is a top, and he spins it, and if it keeps spinning, he knows he's in a dream. If it falls over, he believes that he's in reality. Well, at the end of the movie, he gets to his kids, and he takes the top, and he spins it, and it's spinning and spinning and spinning, and it starts to wobble, but not too much to where you can't certainly tell if it's going to fall over, and then it cuts to black. That's the cliffhanger for Inception. You don't know if the whole movie was a dream, if the end sequence was a dream, if everything, you know, was exactly as portrayed. That's Inception's ending.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about the Inception ending. Part of me thinks that it is a dream. Part of me thinks it's not a dream. In all honesty, here's what I want to think. I want to think that he went to the depths of his mind, found Saito, got out, and lived happily ever after. Because that's what I want to think. And that's really the ending I want to go with. Whether or not it's really what happened, whether it's a dream, when it became a dream, I've seen it 3 times now, and you know, I can point out, oh, that's where the dream could have started, that's where that could have started, maybe this happened. I don't know. I want to believe that Nolan ended it on a good note. But I mean, it didn't, the top didn't fall over, but it wobbled. I don't know. I don't really like, I don't know.
Have you seen kind of a little off topic here. There's a parody video of the ending. I want to say it's from College Humor. And it's like they spin to the top and then the camera focuses on the top and it's just spinning. And then it goes to black and you hear like audience members go, oh. And then they give some credits, like people who are in the movie, and then it shoots back to the table and it's still spinning and they're like, yeah, then it cuts black back to black. Oh, and it just keeps doing that. Sometimes it falls over and then it cuts to black and then it'll come back and it'll be spinning again. It's a really funny video. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but that sounds about right for College Humor to do something, or Funny or Die. One of them.
Yeah.
Probably do something like that, but yeah, I don't know. I'm an optimist. So I don't really like it. It's a good movie either way.
Again, I don't really want to ramble about Inception. I know you weren't in the Nolan episode, but we just kind of talked about it to death. So
yeah. Oh, I hear you. All right. So
you're number one.
My number one is a TV show. It's a TV show that you have not seen, but you want to see. So I don't know whether you want to mute your mic or not, but it's Twin Peaks.
Okay, yeah. Talk about it. I'm not going to listen.
Okay. And I'll just message you when it's done.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, I didn't want to spoil for Nick because he really wants to see the show, but if you've seen my TV meme, you would know that Twin Peaks is my favorite show ever made in the history of television. I love it. The mystery, the humor, the darkness, the characters, the weirdness. It's all great. All right. But if you've seen what happened, Cooper's character falls in love with Annie. Annie wins Twin Peaks' contest, and Wyndham kidnaps her. And they end up going to the Black Lodge. Cooper, around that point, learns that the reason that Earl is in Twin Peaks is because he wants to get to the Black Lodge. And the Black Lodge has a lot of power, so he knows that that chess game that was in there was completely just a decoy. And they get the log... Cooper gets the log lady, and Cooper, Annie, and with the help of the log lady, they follow... They go into the lodge, and the lodge turns out to be the red room from the dream. And the man, the giant, and the spirit of Palmer, Laura Palmer, they give him prophecies about what's going to happen to him, and like what the power of the Black Lodge is, and how it's totally just completely trippy. And Cooper keeps looking for Annie and Earl, and finds the doppelgangers of Maddie and Leland, and really say some shitty things about him. And they help him though get to Earl, who says Cooper needs to tell him that Cooper needs to give up his soul for Annie. And Cooper agrees, and Earl kills Cooper. And Killer Bob, who has kind of been the giant, Killer Bob is a really intense character that it could take hours to explain, but Killer Bob appears and makes time go backwards, who then brings Cooper back to life. And Bob tells Earl that he can't take the human souls from people, and so he kills Earl and just takes his soul because he's a dick and that's what he does. And then Bob turns on Cooper, and Cooper, who has kind of been deadpan the whole series, he kind of gets freaked out and flees, and gets pursued by a doppelganger. And Cooper and Annie discover Sheriff Truman. Annie goes in the hospital, and Cooper is let go. And once Annie wakes up, Cooper asks about Annie's condition and states that, you know, I need to brush my teeth. And he goes to the bathroom and looks in the mirror, and it reveals that he's now possessed by Bob. And he rams his face in the mirror, laughing, and you never know. They never tell you. You never know what happens. Does Cooper go back to normal? What happens to Bob? Where is Bob? Who's the, they jump the gun by revealing halfway through the series who killed Laura Palmer. And it was good. And I thought maybe they could go to another mystery, like it could be like a more murders, or like another big one, or something could happen more with Bob, or like a continuing quest. But they didn't pick it up for a third season, and the whole Cooper getting possessed thing really is just left unresolved. You don't know if Cooper returns normal. You don't know if Annie is fine. You know she lives, but you don't know the condition of like what happens. And it just pisses me off, because there's just a lot that is, it's such a good show, but the whole Bob thing, the whole resolving the murder and the red herrings, and then this cliffhanger, and then they did the movie, where the movie's kind of a prequel and a sequel, but it doesn't really do much, because it kind of reveals that at the end of the movie, Laura's spirit is in the Black Lodge and sees Agent Cooper, and then her angel appears, and it's kind of weird. But so it's kind of a prequel, but you never really know what happens to Agent Cooper. And for that, that is my number one, because he's just like, holy shit, what happened? Where's Cooper? What's going on? I don't know. Oh my god, moment. And it's like, holy crap, this is creepy. Wait, what's gonna happen? Oh, there was no third season. Shit. And that's it. I know that was a lot of rambling, but I'm so passionate about that show that.
Okay.
Nick, you're there. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a bit long-winded there.
Yeah, because
Did you give a synopsis of the ending or the entire show?
The ending.
Okay.
The ending is very detailed. A lot goes into it. That's one thing you'll learn when you watch Twin Peaks, is that nothing's easy to explain.
Okay.
Maybe the pilot's episode's easy to explain, but besides the pilot, everything else... Woo!
Alright, then. Moving on, because I have nothing to comment.
And I swore a lot, so you may want to put an explicit thing at the end. Okay. So.
Yeah, I was listening every now and then. I'd lift my earpiece back up and listen in, and I... Once I heard you go, holy shit, I was like, okay. Anyway, my number one should not be a surprise to anyone who knows me. That is the ending to Saw, the first one.
Shocker.
Yeah. Yes, it's a major twist ending, but it's also a big cliffhanger ending.
Because you don't know.
Yeah. You don't know what happens with Adam. You don't. You find out everything later in the series, but you don't know if Adam lives or dies.
You don't know if Gordon lives or dies.
Which is finally being explained in this last movie.
After the seventh and final movie.
Fans have been waiting for this since the end of Saw 1. This has been like the most wanted thing to happen.
My entire fan club I started was based around theories involving Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a highly discussed ending. You know, is Gordon alive? Is he dead? Was that his body during Saw 2? Or was that him limping and doing the surgery at the beginning of Saw 2 in the video? You know, is he helping Jigsaw? Is he not? You know, what happened to his family? Just a whole bunch of stuff.
And the only cliffhanger that kind of made me go, not like cliffhanger, but an unresolved situation was what happened to Tap, Danny Glover's character. Yeah. Because they show him getting shot, and it seems like he dies, but you learn later that he lived. That he lived, and Jigsaw was just kind of like, well, I'm not done screwing with you, so I'm going to put you in a madhouse, and oh, by the way, I'm going to get you to accidentally shoot your wife.
Wait, what? Yep. When did that happen?
Saw the video game.
Really?
It's canon. And what happens is there's one of two endings. The canon ending is that he escapes from Jigsaw's little second trap he did, but he's so traumatized by the events that happened, like all the witnesses that he left dead, or because it's mostly helping out people in previous cases, because it's like, well, you were so focused on me, well, were you ever really caring about any of your other witnesses? And for the most part, you can't save any of them. So because of the emotional trauma and strain, a couple months later, he kills himself.
Because I know, what is it? Is it like Saw 5, I think? You see his picture with the police officers that have died hunting yeah. Jigsaw. So I just assumed he died at the end of the first one.
No, but it was written by the people, and they said it's canon.
Hmm.
It is canon to the series, just like the second game coming out is canon, and it kind of explains what happens between 2 and 3, mm-hmm. like how you got to 2 and 3. Although Lord knows they spent the next four movies talking about 2 and 3.
Do they ever explain what happened to Donnie Wahlberg's son in the second?
That's going to be explained in the second game.
Is it okay? Because yeah. One I didn't see him the actor listed in Saw 7, and I know 7 has a lot of survivors.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I guess he was. I don't know. They kind of explain it because the whole point is it's David Tapp's son. Mm-hmm. And him, like, trying to figure out the mystery behind it. So it would kind of make sense then that they would kind of have the sons team together to try to find something out. But, yeah. Saw is a very intricate series.
It is. I mean, whether you like it or not, it's, like, the... Just the how connected it is to each other is amazing.
And it's a shit ton better than half of the other horror films out there now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our top fives. I believe we have some honorable mentions now.
Yeah, we actually kind of went through most of mine, except for two, which are from two different CSI series. One is from the Vegas one, and I mentioned this on the TV meme, is Warwick, the black guy. I hate using that description, but he's the only black person on the show. He just solved a big case, and then this like DA kind of guy goes, knocks on his window and is like, "Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. Good job there. All right, thanks. You know, you're a really good cop. Thanks." Shoots him in the throat. Just out of nowhere, just like, oh hi there, bam. And then it cuts to black. Then it's like, then you have to wait like 8 months, and it's like, what? Because unlike the other CSIs, they never killed off any characters in that one. And that one was just like such a random, holy crap, what just happened? Oh my god, kind of moment. And the other one is from Miami, where they actually shoot David Caruso. He gets shot right in the chest. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, bam! The end. And I'm thinking, it's over! The one-liners are over! Praise the... Oh, he's going to be back now.
All right. I have a few more honorable mentions. The end to 28 Weeks Later... where Paris is being overrun by the infected. That ending just makes me want to wait for the next 28 movie, which they keep bringing up. They're like, yeah, we're going to do it, and then nothing ever happens.
When?
Yeah.
And what's it going to be called? 28 months? 28 years? 28 centuries? I don't know.
Who knows? See, I've always thought about that, and 28 months wouldn't make sense because the infected can't survive that long.
Yes.
So, it's weird.
48 weeks later.
Yeah, 48 weeks. 52, something like that, to double it.
Math.
Yeah.
Math,
no. The next one is the ending to Evil Dead with Bruce Campbell, getting back to him. Where, you know, he's the last survivor, and then
Deadeye crushes him.
Yeah, and then the camera zooms through the house, and he turns around, and it's like right in his face, and it cuts to black.
They do it in the second movie too, where he gets dropped off in the Middle Ages, and then the end.
Yeah.
Although it does help set up for my favorite
Army of Darkness. Yeah.
That's my favorite in the series.
Yeah, and then finally, it really depends on which version of this movie you watch, but Blade Runner. 'cause some have the questionable ending of, you know, is he, you know, a cyborg or, you know, whatever, or is he human or whatever. Some versions of the movie have that ending, some don't, so it really depends. One ending might not have this cliffhanger.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me grab my Blu-ray of it. I have this big, giant six-disc one. Yeah, I think it's in one or two of them. I don't know if it's in all... I know they resolve it in one of them, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, they resolve it in... I know they resolve in the international. But yeah, that was always one that kind of struck me, but considering all the different versions, I guess it was kind of hard for me to really acknowledge it as a cliffhanger because there have been so many versions that establish the ending. It's just like, oh, you don't like cliffhangers? Well, here you go.
Yeah. That's why I put it just in the honorable mention because, you know, there's so many different versions. I have a couple other sections with some movies that I want to talk about real quick. First is the questionable endings section, which is decent movies, but with like, just, you're not sure if they're good or bad endings. Well, actually, one of them I know is a bad ending, but the first one is Mortal Kombat, the first Mortal Kombat movie. Both of these are video games, by the way.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
I can probably guess the other one, too.
We'll get there in a minute. Mortal Kombat is, it's a decent movie. And then it gets to the end, and the people from Outworld or whatever show up, and they're like, face me. It's been forever since I've seen the movie. And then they all get ready to fight, and it cuts to black.
Yeah, it's like this big, Shao Kahn is here. And then there's just like big, like kind of like with the ending of Street Fighter, the movie. It's just like, big giant pose with all the characters.
Yeah.
And then the second movie just kills my buzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the second movie picks up immediately, like exactly where the first one left off.
How long is Johnny Cage in that movie?
Like 3 minutes.
Yeah, he's my favorite character in the first movie.
Uh-huh.
And he's my favorite Mortal Kombat character ever. I know people are like, Sub-Zero Scrub, and I'm like, nope, Johnny Cage, because he's just so awesome. And then
him and Liu Kang like the only two returning actors?
Yeah.
And then like he dies and
and then he's just like, oh, and it's like, oh my god, the kick, crack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, fuck this movie.
Yeah. And well, technically in the Mortal Kombat video game series, Johnny Cage dies pretty early on.
Yeah, he dies a lot. That's kind of his charm. He's kind of a punching bag, but he's an awesome punching bag. And if you actually pay attention to like his combos and whatnot, he makes someone explode because of his awesomeness.
Even in the fake trailer that was out, like that 9-minute trailer or whatever a while back, he dies in that too, and it's just the trailer. So yeah, the other movie with questionable ending. Would you like to take a guess on what this one is?
Go ahead.
Silent Hill.
F that movie.
I actually enjoy Silent Hill. Like I think it's a pretty good movie, except for like the last 5 minutes. Like that kills it for me. I cannot stand that last fight. Essentially what happens, because in the realm of Silent Hill, they're in like this alternate dimension in this little town. And they defeat everybody and they leave the town and they get back to their own world, I guess, whatever. And everything's still foggy though, because everything in Silent Hill is really foggy. And they get to their house, and then her husband gets home, and he's looking around, and they don't see each other. And you realize that they're still stuck in this parallel dimension. And then the daughter may or may not still be possessed, you know? So it's... They keep saying they're going to make a sequel to it, but, you know, just like with 28 Weeks Later, when are you going to make a sequel to this?
Well, then again, Silent Hill has really knack for making really crappy endings. Like, the original Silent Hill game, I'm not going to, like, ruin the characters, but Sybil is actually the... not who it... They changed the names around a lot. A lot of things changed. But, like, here's your endings. All of them die. All of them die. Only he or she in the movie. She just dies in the crash jeep. Daughter went right through the windshield. So it's like die. She's still alive, but she's possessed, like the movie did. Or she's still alive, but he's possessed. Those are your endings. Pick one.
I think of the best, like, they died in the crash would have been the best one.
Yeah, and that's a bad ending. I'm like, screw that, I'd rather have him die in there. And they carried over into the rest of the series. Like, Silent Hill Shattered Memories is actually a remake of Silent Hill, the video game. And the ending, the entire movie, you never know, takes place in the mindset of the daughter. And she's having visions of her father. And what you learn is that here are your endings. You get three of them. either Harry is a drunk who beat his daughter and his wife, Harry completely ignores his daughter, or he's a womanizer.
All right.
It's like you can't win with Silent Hill, and that ending pissed me off in the movie, but I was just like, you know, this is just typical Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. The only thing I liked about the movie was Pyramid Head.
Yeah. I liked the movie, but I know I'm kind of in a strange minority, but it's not even a minority. There's like a lot of people who like Silent Hill, but there's like even more people who don't like it. It's very strange. But yeah.
Oh, I'm just a huge fan of the game series, which I think kind of ruins my entire... Oh, well, actually, here's some news. May 5th, they announced that they're going to start filming by the end of the year.
Awesome.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we're going to eventually probably think about maybe... It's like... Yeah, there are so many contradictions in that sentence.
Luckily, Jodelle Ferlin, who played the daughter, she's 16 now, but she still looks like she's 9.
Which is good?
For the movie, anyway.
Geez, when she's 18, she's probably going to look 13.
Yeah.
Which is going to be like every... Oh, God. I feel sorry for that poor woman.
Yeah. All right. That was my questionable ending section. Now I have 3 more. Movies, but they fall under the bad movies with notable endings. Like, these are really bad, or not really bad. Well, one of them's not really bad. The other two are pretty bad. But they're endings that are worth noting. Two of them are video game based, and one of them's a sequel. So I'll start with the sequel first, and then get back to the video games. First is Chronicles of Riddick. I love Pitch Black. Chronicles of Riddick was a massive disappointment, and thankfully, in the next Riddick movie that they're actually making, they're kind of going back to the tone of Pitch Black.
Finally.
Yes. So, anyway, it basically ends, to keep this short, he defeats the big army bad guy people and then takes over as their leader. And, like, Kira's dead. Kira was Jack in the first movie. And Kira's dead, and he wants to go save her, but now he has to, like, rule this army of necromongers, which is, like, the stupidest name ever. And then it ends. Like, he realizes what's happened, and the movie ends. I did not like that. Like, when I saw it in theater, I was like, what the crap is this? Kira's dead. Kira dying was the biggest upset about the whole thing. But yeah.
Yeah. That one definitely pissed me off. And what was sad is I was trying to get my dad into the series because he's very fickle about movies. He really, I mean, if he can find one thing he hates about it, he'll say, worst movie ever. Sherlock Holmes, worst movie ever. Inception, worst movie ever. Like, anything, he'll find it. And he's like, oh, Chronicles of Pitch Black's a really good movie. Oh, this is a really good worst movie ever. I'm like, thanks, movie. I just got him into a series, and he had to shove it back up.
Yeah. The second movie on this bad movies with notable endings, you actually just mentioned, which is... Street Fighter, the live action movie. at the very end of the, like after the credits, M. Bison's hand pops back out, and you know that's, you know, he's still alive.
I guess the rocks were too much for him.
Yeah.
God, what is wrong with my tasteless jokes?
Anyway. So yeah, I don't really have much to say about it. I just thought it was worth noting.
Of course.
The last movie we could probably talk about for ages, but I don't think we should because we're going to run long on time.
Who cares? This is our last episode. We're going all...
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers. I couldn't do this, podcast on cliffhanger endings without bringing up Super Mario Brothers. It was probably one of the first cliffhanger endings, in a movie that I actually came across. Because I saw this movie when I was really little. And, you know, when you're young, like really young, like when I was really young, the movie's actually enjoyable. It's stupid and, you know, entertaining. And only it's like when you're older do you realize how bad it is. But the ending, I always remembered that ending where what's her name, Daisy, comes in and ripped clothes, she looks hot, and big gun, and she's like, yeah, you gotta come with me back to the other world or whatever. And
they're like, he's kind of like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't. It's like, let's go.
Yeah, and she cocks the gun and then it turns to black. And
no sequel.
Yeah, no sequel. Yeah, that's kind of annoying. I mean, it's not worthy of a sequel, but with an ending like that, you know, it makes you want a sequel anyway. So, yeah, I just felt like bringing that up.
Yeah, I actually, when you brought that up, I had to bring up one. Jason's going to love me for this one. Troll 2. AKA what a lot of people consider the worst movie ever, you know, Room, Troll 2, whatever. You could argue that for days. For me, though, everything, you know, they're fighting these trolls, which aren't really trolls, they're like deformed Ewoks. And they go, during the epilogue, like they got the magic stone, they save the day, everything's cool. Everything seems to be fine. Then they go to the epilogue, and they walk in the house, and they're like, oh, look at this food. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome. We have food. Did you make it? No. Did you make it? No. Who cares? It's free food. What's this blue stuff all over it? No one cares. They still eat it. Yeah, even though there's blue, what looks like blue jizz all over the food, no one cares except for the kid. Joshua's just like, I'm not going to eat that. And they're like, oh, you're crazy. And he goes up and it's like, oh, this movie can't be that bad of an ending. And then you realize, and then he goes back downstairs and her corpse, the family, they whenever the blue stuff happens, they get like turned into like grass food kind of deformed thing, and she's getting eaten alive. And he's like, ah, black. And it's like, wow, this could have had a really happy ending. Thanks, movie. Thanks.
I think what made it happy is that it ended.
Yeah, that's probably what made it happy.
All right. So that was it for me. I guess move on to our D-bag.
Yeah, the D-bag. All right. First we got from my cousin Jimmy, who his line was, does she know her daughter's still alive? From Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah.
And Jason says Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, definitely. That's one. And also Back to the Future 2. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that one. I mean, Back to the Future 1 kind of ends with a cliffhanger, but Back to the Future 2, yeah, how will he get back now that the Doc is
in the past?
Yeah. And then Simon thinks of Friends. You know, will you take the Emily? I will take the Rachel or Emily. And like, ooh. But he mentions in terms of movies, Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one. And of course, he mentions the original Back to the Future. That whole, the first two movies definitely had good endings. It made you want to watch the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's it. All right.
Now
it's the D-bag.
Yeah, and turn to the D-bag. Now we'll move on to film versus film. We're going to keep in line with the theme of cliffhanger endings and stick with the Saw series. And Travis is going to be arguing for Saw 3, and I'm going to be arguing for Saw 6, both as the better movie. Again, our last reminder, technically, 1 minute for introduction and conclusion, and 3 minutes for rebuttals.
Yes.
So,
Saw, I'll go first if you want.
Because you're Saw 3, so.
Yes. Okay. Saw 3. Saw 3 is regarded as the end of the original trilogy. Saw 3 accumulates everything that happened within the first two films. It gives you the fate of Eric Matthews. It tells you what happens to Amanda and eventually the death of Amanda. And it ends with a definitive end. It kills Jigsaw. You see Jigsaw die, and everything that his plan had just comes to fruition. And then the entire last part, when the husband realizes what just happened to her wife, the entire series flashes, like in some really big flash cut. It's just the entire series is flashed. And it's a really good movie, well written, well told story, well developed, and a good end to the trilogy. And a lot of people say it went downhill from there.
Saw 6. Well, just from the opening trap, it's hardcore. You know, them having to cut their limbs off and fill the scales. The overall tone of the film is reminiscent from the first film, or at least it's closer in tone to the first film than any of the others. The others just kind of turn to like the torture porn kind of thing. This one's more of kind of like that psychological. There's a lot of suspense in this one. For one, you're trying to figure out if William is going to save one person over the other and how he's going to survive. And then second, wondering if Hoffman is going to get away with it and keep everything a secret. It has a great ending that plays against your predictions. Every Saw film ends with the final surviving character losing. Hoffman actually escapes the trap before it goes to black, which is epically awesome. And it fills in a lot of the loose ends from the previous films, like what Amanda's letter said or what was in Jill's box, among other things. And that's my time.
Okay, 3-minute rebuttal. All right, here's the thing about Saw 6. Saw 6, it seems too preachy for me. I mean, the series has kind of always been about morality, and kind of driving force of the series is Jigsaw's character dealing with all the loss and everything that's gone on in his life. But with 6, it also kind of drags along because the backstory is just, it's so consumed by the backstories and the flashbacks that, yes, the traps happen, and, you know, as a torture porn fan, I can say the traps are interesting enough, but it seems like most of the movie is like trying to tell you what happened before instead of driving. I mean, there's this thin story involving this health insurance guy, and it almost seems like he's getting desperate, Jigsaw. It's just like, all right, I took care of my doctor. I took care of some other people. Hell, I'm going to take care of the insurance agency. I don't know. I mean, part of me is just thinking, like, what's next? I mean, I know Saw 7's the last one, but it's just like, Jesus, like, what's next? Oh, you're going to take out your veterinarian because he put down your dog too early? It bugged me that it kind of just seemed kind of like he was trying too hard to also send this message, because at the time when the movie was released, there was a whole healthcare debate and, you know, kind of dealing with that. I don't know. I don't really like the politics in the movie all that well. And I guess if you were playing, like, I know they mentioned in Entertainment Weekly's, I always remember this quote, if you want to play Saw Trivial Pursuit, watch Saw 6 and skip the rest. But because the whole movie is just backstory, while Saw 3 kind of has its own big standalone story of Jeff, I just remember his name, Jeff dealing with the loss of his son and dealing with the problems that went with that and the ignoring of his daughter and what happens to his wife. That story is so well developed that you care about the characters when they die. And when Jeff kills Jigsaw, part of you is sad because they killed Jigsaw. Part of you is just like, yes, he's getting that revenge. Granted, he died like a little bitch later in the next movie, but still, it's such a great way that character is developed. But while the other character, he's just kind of a snide, whiny, oh yeah, he can hold his breath longer than a smoker, yeah. And, you know, when he dies, you don't care because he's kind of a dirtbag. I mean, he learned a lesson, but to what extent? I don't know, it's a little too preachy for my tastes. and I'm pretty sure that's my time.
All right. Now, I disagree with what you said about Saw 3 closing up, you know, answering everything. It was originally meant to be the end of the series, the end of the trilogy, but it just sets up more unanswered questions than it answers. There's, like, a ton of things. Like, it does answer some things, but it leaves things wide open and then gives more questions that you have to answer instead of closing everything up. As far as the traps go, with maybe one exception, like the rack, the traps are lame. A hand in acid to grab a key? What happened to ripping open another person and digging through his intestines to get a key? Though I can forgive most of the traps, the freezer trap is probably the silliest in the entire series. Nobody's going to freeze in that thick of ice that quickly. That also doesn't necessarily mean you die. People have frozen to death in the past and then been resuscitated due to the ice keeping them in from decomposing and whatnot. Like putting an amputated limb in or organ in ice or something like that. I know the point with Amanda's traps were that they were inescapable, but that just took away from the suspense after the very first one. Because after the first one, you realize, the people can't escape these traps. I guess that takes away the suspense now. Jeff's traps are supposed to be emotional, which means you should feel for the guy. And I know he lost his son, but the guy's a total douche. Like, I didn't care anything about him. Finally, Detective Matthews is portrayed as a total idiot. He escapes the bathroom and decides to follow the and torment the person who put him there, despite hardly being able to walk, much less fight back. And then she leaves him alone again to run away, leaving him alive. And he taunts her again. It's just ridiculous. And it doesn't wrap up what happens to Matthews. I mean, it says he's alive, but then he comes back in Saw, what, 4, I think, and ends up dying in Saw 4. And, it's just, there's so much left open. The traps are silly to lame with, you know, one exception. And, the characters, you just don't care because they're either a douche or just acting dumb. And I'm actually a little short on time, so I'll stop there early.
All right, you want to talk about lame. Let's see, you got a little merry-go-round thing, and he chooses the women. Yes, he's not a total douchebag, sexist asshole. No, you know, he's just going to pick the women for the only reason that they're the women. And he's not a good person at all. The only time he ever shows any sort of sense of morality whatsoever is with the barbed wire noose thing. And otherwise, it just... The whole point with Saw 3 is there are supposed to be questions. It's supposed to make you think about what's going to happen. While with the with this one, it's just, and you want to talk about inescapable traps? Most of Hoffman's traps are inescapable. And in fact, Hoffman actually goes and just kills police officers. He's just like, screw the whole secret identity thing. I'm Jigsaw. And it's just that you want to talk about taking away suspense. The villain's revealing himself now, and the mystery of who the Jigsaw killer is now is just—it's gone. And I don't know.
You're done.
I was done anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said before, the opening trap's pretty hardcore in Saw 6, but in fact, all the traps. I disagree with you about the traps in Saw 6 that they're not all that good. All the traps in this movie are incredibly inventive. And in kind of the opposite of Saw 3, the main guy has to choose to save or kill people he actually knows and somewhat cares about. I think it portrays much more of a moral dilemma than in Saw 3, and the main guy is much more likable to Jeff, at least to me. He's easier to connect with than Jeff. And, it's... 6 is... It does have flashbacks, not as much flashbacks as Saw 5, which is purely flashback. I really don't have much else to say. I said most of it in my opening. I'll just end it there.
Okay.
I actually wanted to rebuttal against something you had said during your thing, and I just couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, same with yours. I couldn't think of everything, but
there was one specifically. I almost like typed it in just to try to so I knew I would remember it, and I completely forgot what it was. I did laugh at the whole veterinarian thing, though. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to seem like a dick because I love the series, but it was just like health insurance agent. Yeah, sure. Oh, you denied him once. Okay, well, you know, it's like, you didn't fill up my gas, you bastard. I'm going to put you in a trap.
Yeah, I love the series too. I know the last few episodes when what I've done with Rachel, we had such a hard time because we loved everything. We were both like destroying in these arguments. So we had to really, you know.
And I mean, I can think of things that are wrong with it, but I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
There is so much fundamentally wrong with the Saw series, but there are so many fundamentally right things with the Saw series.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Mono
dialogues of the week. Because this is our final episode, we decided to do two each.
You want to do one?
Like, I do one, you do one, I do one, you do one, or what?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, something like...
Yeah, you go first.
Of course.
Well, you've been going first all night, so you might as well keep the trend.
All right. The first one is from Dr. Strangelove. No, it's not the liquidation one. It's another speech from Jack D. Ripper. Ha, 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 ha. It's when he's talking to the soldiers about commies. Your commie has no regard for human life, not even of his own. For this reason, men, I want to impress upon you the need for extreme watchfulness. The enemy may come individually or in strength. He may even appear in the form of your own troops. But, however, we must stop him. We must not allow him to gain entrance to this base. Now, I'm going to give you three simple rules. First, trust no one, whatever his uniform or rank, unless he is known to you personally. Second, anyone or anything that approaches within 200 yards of the perimeter is to be fired upon. Third, if in doubt, shoot first, then ask questions later. I would sooner accept a few casualties through accidents rather than losing the entire base and its personnel through carelessness. Any variation of these rules must come from me personally. Any variation on these rules must come from me personally. Now, men, in conclusion, I would like to say that in the 2 years it has been my privilege to be your commanding officer, I have as always expected the best from you, and you have never given me anything less than that. Today, the nation is counting on us. I'm not going to let them down. Good luck to y'all. At ease. End.
All right. My first one is pretty short. It's from Clueless, the scene where Cher is... giving her part of the debate over Haiti. So, okay, like, right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? Well, it's like when I had this garden party for my father, right? I said RSVP because it was a sit-down dinner. But some people came that, like, did not RSVP. I was, like, totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, redistribute the food, squish in extra place settings. But by the end of the day, it was like, the more, the merrier. And so if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians. And in conclusion, may I please remind you, it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty. Thank you very much. Amber, reply. Mr. Hall, how can I answer that? The topic is Haiti, and she's talking about some little party. Hello, it was his 50th birthday? Whatever, if she doesn't do the assignment, I can't do mine. End.
Nice. I love Clueless. I really do. Alright. My last one is from one I've been meaning to do for a long time. Network.
Alright.
Take a wild freaking guess at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't actually answer that. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work, scared of losing their jobs. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do. And there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. And we sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us today that we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad. Worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything, everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we are living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let us have my toaster, and my TV, and my steel-belted radials, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick out your head and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Sit up. Go to your windows. Open them and stick out your head and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change, but first you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open your windows, stick out your head and yell and say it. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. End.
Awesome. All right. Now it's down to the last one. I thought this would be a perfect one to end with, because it pretty much encapsulates everything that is the mono dialogues of the week. It is a monologue, but at the same time, it's a dialogue, technically. And we've always said that we kind of sound schizophrenic when we do these dialogues. Well, technically, this is a schizophrenic character talking to himself. So it's both a monologue and a dialogue. And that is the Gollum conversation from the Two Towers.
Oh, sweet mercy.
Yeah. I cannot do a Gollum voice to save my life, so I'm going to do the best I can. It won't sound anything like him, but let's go for it. Okay. We wants it. We needs it. Must have the precious. They stole it from us, sneaky little hobbitses. Wicked, tricksy, false. No, not master. Yes, precious, false. They will cheat you, hurt you, lie. Master's my friend. You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you. Not listening. I'm not listening. You're a liar and a thief. No. Murderer. Go away. Go away. I hate you. I hate you. Where would you be without me? Gollum! Gollum! I saved us.
It was me. We survived because of me. Not anymore. What did you say? Master looks after us now. We don't need you. What? Leave now and never come back. No. Leave now and never come back. Leave now and never come back. We told him to go away. And he goes away, Precious. Gone, gone, gone. Smeagol is free. End.
Awesome. That's a good one.
Now that we've done the only part of the show you really care about, I guess that wraps up everything.
Yeah.
So,
that wraps up.
Without further ado, I have been, will always remain to be, and even after this show, will possibly stay Nick Jobe of Random Ramblings of a Demented Doorknob.
Me esta, como esta, Travis McCollum. I just butchered Spanish! Thank you, 4 years of Spanish class.
And this has been the Demented... Oh, crap! You were going to talk about how... where you've been gone the last 2 weeks. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, I was going to explain to you. I mean, it's a really long story. A lot of stuff happens. I've been gone for a long time. So, you see, what happened...